We covered a lot of ground last night. I need to get this in you. I just can't seem to get away from it. God has been doing something different for the last maybe 6 weeks. We were all over the place trying to build a foundation of the Word of God and the people. And up until recently, He's been sticking around certain subjects and lingering until we get it in there. The anointing's operating in a different way, and I'm just flowing with what He wants to do. We're going to start out in Daniel chapter 2. Now we're going to start reading here. We're going to see some things building as a progression. We know in Revelation chapter 13, it said, I saw a beast coming out of the sea, and he had 7 heads and 10 horns, and he had 10 crowns on his horns. Now, before we go over there, in particular, we're going to be talking, focusing on one subject. We've been covering a lot of ground. And tonight I'm going to talk about the subject of the Antichrist. Now, according to 1 John, he said that there are many Antichrists that already have come, but we're waiting for one specific Antichrist to come. And that's the one that we see in the book of Revelation in chapter 13, coming out of the sea. He calls him the beast. So let's get going here in Daniel chapter 2. We're going to see a progression. In particular, I want to prove to you with Scripture and make it very, very clear to you where the Antichrist will come from. You need to understand this, because you will have, if you are witnessing to people and talking to people, or if God calls you to teach anyone else about the Bible and people have questions, a lot of people think the Antichrist is going to come from all sorts of areas except for the one place he really is going to come from. Okay? We need to know where he's going to come from. And I'll show you that the Bible makes it very, very, very clear where he is going to come from. There's no question about it. No ifs, ands, or buts. I mean, it literally tells us where he's going to come from. It should be no mystery. So let's start here in verse 31. Now, you know, Daniel's interpreting dreams in this book for Nebuchadnezzar. So I want you to recognize this. He says, Thou, O king, sawest, and behold, a great image. This great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before you, and the form thereof was terrible. The image's head was of fine gold, his breast was in arms of silver, his belly and thighs of brass, his legs of iron, his feet part of iron and part of clay. Thou saw until that a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay, and broke them into pieces. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, the gold broken to pieces together and became like chaff of the summer threshing floors, and the wind carried them away and no place was found for them, and the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. So he told them what his vision or his dream was here. And then in verse 36, he's going to give you the interpretation of the dream. And we're going to see different kingdoms spoken of here, and you need to recognize these kingdoms. And if you have a pen and you have your Bible, just write a little note there of what each one of these are, and that's going to really help you significantly. It says, in this dream, verse 36, we will tell you the interpretation thereof before the king. Thou, O king, art the king of kings, for the God of heaven has given thee a kingdom, power, and strength, and glory. And wheresoever the children of men dwell, the beasts of the field, the fowls of heaven, he has given into thine hand and has made thee ruler over all. Thou art the head of gold. So we don't have to wonder who the head of gold is. He tells us who the head of gold is. That is King Nebuchadnezzar, king of the Babylonian Empire. King Nebuchadnezzar, king of the Babylonian Empire. And you can write down a little note there that the Babylonian Empire, took over Egypt and Assyria. He took over that region. Okay, let's continue on. After thee shall arise another kingdom inferior to thee. So we know that he's going to describe to us who this is. Okay, after thee shall arise another kingdom inferior to thee. And now we know that if you study history, the kingdom that rose after the Babylonian Empire was the Median Persian Empire, okay? Media-Persian Empire. So you can write that down. You can read about that in Isaiah 13, Jeremiah 51. Now, I want you to see this here now. Then, at the end of 39, it says, another third kingdom of brass, which shall bear rule over all the earth. That's the way it says it in the King James Version. Which shall bear ruler, rule over all the earth. Okay? So we know Babylon took over Egypt and Assyria. Then it was Media Persia. And the next kingdom that rose up was Grecia. Okay? He shall rule over all the earth. A third kingdom of brass, which shall bear rule over all of the earth. Again, that's Grecia. That, and you can write that's Alexander the Great. Because we're going to come back to him when we go to the other chapters. And then we see here in verse 40, and a fourth kingdom shall be as strong as iron, for as much as iron breaks into pieces and subdues all things, and iron that breaks all these shall break in pieces the and bruise. Now we know that this fourth kingdom that was arising was strong as iron is the Roman Empire. That was the one that came after Alexander the Great's kingdom, which was a Grecian empire. So that's the Roman Empire, which is the one that was alive and well in Jesus' day. And when John the Apostle wrote the book of Revelation, when he received the revelation. Now, let's continue on. Verse 41, and whereas thou saw the feet and toes, partly of potter's clay and partly of iron, the kingdom shall be divided. But there shall be in it of the strength of iron, forasmuch as thou saw the iron mixed with miry clay. So it's going to have the strength of iron, but it's going to break like clay. There's going to be a divided kingdom. And it's going to be a kingdom of 10 toes is what he saw. A divided kingdom. And as the toes of the feet were part of iron and part of clay, so shall the kingdom be partly strong and partly broken. And where you saw iron mixed in miry clay, they shall mingle themselves in seed of men, and they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed to clay. So that's going to be a divided kingdom. Now, let's continue on. Now we know, I'm just going to make mention of this. This last kingdom he's making mention of is not until the last of the last days, the last 7 years, the last week of Daniel's 70th weeks. We're in the 69th week. The 69th week is we've been in that week forever. And this 70th week is when this 10 toes of these 10 kingdoms are going to arise in the last days. And this is where the Antichrist is going to come out of. But I want you to take note that the Antichrist comes out of these 10 kingdoms, but he does not tell you that in this chapter. He just tells you he's coming out of the 10 kingdoms. He doesn't tell you which one of the 10 kingdoms he comes out of. Okay? Are you with me? And in the days of these kings, in the days of what kings? In the days of these 10 kings, this divided kingdom in the last days, shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to another people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, which are those 10 kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. That's talking about the rock that was cut out of the mountain without hands, and it smashed those toes, didn't it? It smashed the feet, and it all broke. It was like chaff on the summer threshing floor. It blew away. And that rock became a mighty mountain that filled the whole earth, he said. That's Jesus. That's our kingdom. Verse 45, forasmuch thou saw that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and it broke in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, the gold, the great God has made known to the king, which shall come to pass hereafter. The dream is certain, and the interpretation is for sure. Then God promoted Daniel after this. Okay? Now go on over. Now we know that the Antichrist is going to rise out of these 10 kingdoms. He calls them 10 toes here in chapter 2, but he doesn't tell us which one. But let's read through chapter 7 now. We're going to see some greater detail. So you can write a note there. The Antichrist comes out of these 10 kingdoms. That's a kingdom. You can tell that's the 10 kingdoms because it's the one he makes mention of in Revelation. He also makes mention of it here in chapter 7 and chapter 8 of Daniel. But not only that, he makes it very clear that that kingdom, that 10 divided kingdom, is going to be destroyed by Jesus himself. So we know that's the same one he's talking about in Revelation, but he doesn't go into detail about where the Antichrist is going to come out of which of these 10 kingdoms. Now let's start in chapter 7, verse 1. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream, the visions of his head on his bed, and he wrote the dream and told some of the matters. Daniel spoke and said, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of the heavens drove up upon the great sea. And four beasts, now I want you to notice, these beasts came out of the sea. The sea represents people, okay? These type of beasts don't normally come out of the sea, so we know that they're not literally water creatures. The four great beasts came from the sea, diverse one from another. They're different one from another. Verse 4. Now this first was like a lion and had great wings, and I beheld till the wings were plucked off of it, and it lifted up from the earth and made stand upon its feet as a man, and a man's heart was given to it. Now this first kingdom, I want you to write this down, this is the Babylonian Empire again. The Babylonian Empire, which was the third world empire to persecute Israel. Well, which are the first two? Can anybody tell me? Egypt and Assyria. Egypt and Assyria, which Babylon took over. So now we can understand that those three are inside of this one territory now. That's the lion. Now, lion, it's represented a lion because Nebuchadnezzar's day, also in latter days, same symbolism can apply. You can see that in the book of Revelation. You can read about this if you're taking notes in Isaiah 5:29, Ezekiel 17, and Habakkuk 1:6-8. Okay? Represented by a lion. Very powerful. Now we're going to see another kingdom. Now he made mention here, he said, he was lifted up from the earth and made stand on his feet as a man, and a man's heart was given to it. That's talking about when Nebuchadnezzar lost his mind temporarily. And you can read about that in these chapters. He went out into the field and he ate straw like an ox. His fingernails grew long. He grew feathers. He basically turned into an animal for 7 years. Very odd situation, but it happened just like it says it happened. You can be sure of that. Now, verse 5, and behold, another beast, a second like a bear. Now, we know that after the Babylonian Empire, who was it? It was the Media-Persian Empire. So we can assume that this is the same empire as it's represented by a bear. And it raised itself on one side and had three ribs in its mouth. Now, this raised itself on one side. It symbolized the strength of the Persians compared to the Medes. That's what it represents. It's the same thought as a horn higher than the other in the ram in chapter 8, verse 3. We're going to see that later. Okay? Had three ribs in its mouth. This symbolized the conquest of Babylon, Lydia, and Egypt by the Medes and Persians. And of it, between the teeth of it, and they said thus unto it, arise, devour much flesh. Now this is a bear. It's the Media-Persian Empire, again, fitting because of its cruelty and thirst after blood. They were very, very wicked, very, very powerful. Robberies and love of spoil, similar to a bear. The bear will break into your car and steal your food. That's how they are. You can read about that empire in Isaiah 13, 16 through 18, Jeremiah 51, 48 through 46. I also want to make note again that the largest species of bear is found in Media. Very interesting, just as a fact. Okay? Now we're going to see another kingdom arise. In verse 6, after this I beheld, and lo, another like a leopard, which had on its back four wings of a fowl. The beast had also four heads, and dominion was given to it. Now this is the Grecian Empire, which was Alexander the Great. So we're seeing a pattern here. He's mentioning these same different empires, isn't he? He's just using different symbolism. It was represented as a leopard because it's a Grecian empire. It had four wings of a fowl representing its swiftness. It had double the swiftness. It had more wings. Double the swiftness of Babylon, which is Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom. Now, let's continue on. Now, it had four heads, and dominion was given to it. Now, let's continue on here. Now, the four heads symbolize the four divisions of the Grecian Empire after the death of Alexander. The four divisions. And we're going to see these four divisions again when we get over to chapter 8. The four divisions of the Grecian Empire after the death of Alexander, okay? Now, we're going to see this fourth beast, verse 7. After this, I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, and strong exceedingly. And it had great iron teeth. It devoured and broke in pieces and stamped the residue with the feet of it. And it was diverse or different from all the other beasts that were before it. It had 10 horns. Everybody say 10 horns.
10 horns.
We had 10 toes in chapter 2. The 10 horns are the same as the 10 toes. But out of the 10 toes, we didn't see a little toe grow up out of the toes, did we? That's why I'm saying throughout the book of Daniel, he builds more and more revelation. It gives you more detail. Because we're going to see out of these 10 horns, there's going to be another little horn that comes out of these horns, which is the Antichrist. Just like I told you, the Antichrist comes out of the 10 toes, but he doesn't tell you which one he comes out of. But here he's going to get into more detail. So pay close attention. Why is this so important? Because many people don't believe the truth. They don't want to believe God's word. They want to believe that the Antichrist is coming for you in the United States. Forget about it. There's going to be other plagues going on down here. You don't want to be here during the tribulation period. We want to be living holy life so we get raptured out of here and we can watch it from a safe distance in heaven. Amen. On the planet heaven, okay? Now, I want you to notice that this represented the Roman Empire, and they took over all these other empires and stamped them under their feet, which represented the power of the Roman Empire. Now, he called it a nondescript beast because it was different from all the other beasts. There was nothing, in other words, there's no way to describe this. What is this? It's just so powerful. Now, it conquered all the territories, Babylon, Media, Persia, Greece. It was different from all the other beasts, not only in republic form, but also in government. Government. Also, power, greatness, extent of dominion, length of duration, and the 10 horns form the old Roman Empire territory in the last days. Okay? Let's continue on. Verse 8, I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. Another little horn, that's the Antichrist. Before whom three of the first horns, three of what horns do you talk about? Those other 10 horns, right? Plucked up by the roots, and behold, in his horn were eyes like a man, and the mouth speaking great things. You're going to see this mouth speaking boastful words he talks about, the Antichrist. We know this is the Antichrist because he says the same thing over there in Revelation chapter 13. And we also know that he subdued three of these other kingdoms. And these 10 kingdoms make up the whole old Roman Empire territory in the last days. Which is, it's going to be the seventh head on the beast, which is going to make up the 10 kingdoms that arise during the first 3.5 years of the tribulation period, the first 3.5 years of Daniel's 70th week. And they're going to arise. And what's going to happen, you see right here, that with the help of another, which is Syria, which is one of the 10 horns. Syria is one of them. With the help of another, which is Syria, the Antichrist is going to subdue or make three of them submit to him. They're going to submit to him by his power. And then that means we got four of them now. Okay? Four of them. And then the other six are going to see this and they're going to willingly submit their power over the Antichrist during the middle of Daniel's 70th week, which is the first three and a half years of the Daniel's 70th week, or the first 3.5 years of the tribulation period. Okay? Now, let's continue on. It says in verse 9, and behold, till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, that's God the Father, the Ancient of Days, and his hair and head were like pure wool. His throne was like a fiery flame, and his wheels as a burning fire. a fiery stream issued and came from before him. Thousands and thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him, and judgment was set, and the books were opened. I beheld then, because of the voice of the great words which a horn spake, and held, even till the beast was slain, and his body destroyed, and his body given to the burning flame. So judgment is going to be upon this last one. He's going to get thrown into the lake of fire with his prophet, we see in Revelation chapter 13, which was the lamb with the two horns. He comes in the form of deception. He's the spiritual man of the Antichrist. As concerning the rest of the beasts, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and time. Now the beast preceding the reign of the little horn. Okay. Now, we could go on. And I saw the night visions and beheld one like a son of man came, the clouds of heaven, and came to the Ancient of Days. We heard him mentioned before, right? And they brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people and nations and languages should serve him. And his dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall never pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. Okay. Now, we could go on. I don't want to spend too much time on this, but let's go on. Verse 15. That's talking right before that. Verse 14. That's talking about Jesus' millennial reign, which is actually a forever reign. It's 1,000 years, and there's a couple changes, and then it go on forever. Okay. You can read that in the last few chapters of Revelation there. Verse 15, I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit, in the midst of my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. I came near unto one of them that stood by and asked him the truth of all this, and he told me and made me know the interpretation of things. The four beasts, four kingdoms, are right here. Verse 17, these great beasts, which are four, are four kings which shall arise out of the earth. Okay? Four kingdoms. Okay? Babylon, Media, Persia, Greece, and Rome. Right? Now let's continue on. But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever and ever and ever and ever, it says in the King James Version. Then I would know the truth of the fourth beast, which was diverse from all the others, exceedingly dreadful, whose teeth were of iron, and his nails of brass, which devoured and broke to pieces and stamped the residue of his feet. And of the 10 horns that were in his head, and of the other which came up, and before whom 3 fell. Remember? Even of the horn that had eyes, that's of the Antichrist power. He's made 3 of them subdue again. He's just saying it again. And had a mouth that spoke very great things, whose look was more stout than his fellows. I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them. That's talking about the last 3 and a half years of the Antichrist's reign, when he makes these 3 kingdoms subdue with the help of another, which is Syria itself. Then we have the 11 of them, the 10 kingdoms with the Antichrist, the 11 of them working together to try to destroy, with the Antichrist is ahead of it all, trying to destroy the God's people, which is the Jewish people, which get born again in the last 3 and a half years of the tribulation period. He's out to destroy them. That's his mission. Okay. And it says this, verse 21 again, I beheld the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them. So he had power over them. And it says in Revelation 13 that the Antichrist does have power over them. Until the Ancient of Days came. So he prevailed over them until Jesus came with God the Father. The Ancient of Days is God the Father. Jesus comes to earth with God the Father and all of his angels in blazing fire. And all of his powerful angels, according to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. And they're going to come up and set their kingdom up. And the Antichrist, this is at the end of the tribulation period now, the Antichrist with his prophet get thrown into the lake of fire for 1,000 years before their final judgment, which is a great white throne judgment at the end of Revelation there. Now, thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down and break it to pieces. Now, and the ten horns out of this kingdom. Out of what kingdom? Well, the old Roman Empire territory. Now, we know this, that after Alexander the Great, which is the Grecian Empire, Rome rose up and devoured all those other territories. Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Media, Persia, and Greece. It took over that whole territory. So what he's saying here is that Rome, that final kingdom, is where these ten kings are going to come out of, and also the Antichrist, that little horn, is going to rise out of this area of the world, is what he's saying. Out of this area of the world. And not the United States, but out of the old Roman Empire territory. Does everybody agree with me? Isn't that what the Bible says? The Bible says that. I'm not making this up. All I'm doing is trying to get you to see what the Bible plainly says in English. It tells you where the Antichrist is coming from. So anybody else coming to you with, they may wow you with their great symbolism. Forget about it if it doesn't line up with the Bible. We are Christians. Christians follow the Bible, not people's opinions. Okay? Now, I left off here in verse 24. And ten kings out of that kingdom are ten kings that shall arise, and another shall arise after them. And he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall trouble and subdue three kings. Three kings of what? Of the ten. This is the Antichrist subduing three kings. Amen. I just got to preach real loud because I'm recording this. Now, he says here in verse 25, he shall speak great words against the Most High. He says in the Revelation, he spoke great boastful words, blaspheming God, blasphemous words. He shall speak great words against the Most High and shall swear out the saints of the Most High and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until a time, times, and half a time. Think of it like this. A time is 1 year. Times would be 2 years. So you got a time over here. Times. Three. And a half a time. So that's 3.5 years. Time is one. Times would be 1 + 1 = 2. So that's 3. Time, times, and a half a time. I can't make a half with my hands. I'm not that coordinated. Some of you might be able to. Time, time, and a half a time. That's 3.5 years. So the last 3.5 years, what he's saying, he's going to change the sacrifices and so on and so forth. And he's going to go... He's going to, for the first 3.5 years, his capital city will be literal Babylon. Literal Babylon. Okay? And during that first 3.5 years, he's going to be working very, very hard to make these 10 kingdoms submit to him in that old Roman Empire territory. And it takes him 3.5 years for him to get to three of them to subdue, or he subdues three of them, I should say, okay, right in the middle of the tribulation period, with the help of another, which is Syria itself, which is one of the ten kingdoms. The other six in the old Roman Empire territory that make up this whole area are going to willingly submit to him, and he's going to take over. Now, during this first 3.5 years, mystical Babylon, which is mentioned in Chapter 17 of Revelation, is a religious system that rules over that area of the world and affects the whole world to some degree. It rules over that whole area of the world. Whatever this religious system is, it rules over that whole Roman Empire territory. It also rules over the ten kings and the Antichrist for that first 3.5 years. Okay? But what's going to happen is when all these ten kings give their power over to the Antichrist, they are going to destroy this religious system of the world. They're going to destroy it. They're going to just annihilate this religious system. It will be no more. Why? Because now, instead of them worshiping this religious system, they're going to set up a new form of worship, and a new subject to be worshipped will be the Antichrist himself. Because he's going to come out of this territory here, He's going to come out of, in particular, Babylon, which is where his capital is, which is basically out of Syria. And after he comes out of this area and makes these three kings submit, and the rest of them all submit willingly, he makes three of them subject to him. He's going to make the other ones are going to willingly submit their power and authority over the Antichrist. Then he's going to make his new capital, not literal Babylon anymore, but he's going to set himself up in the Jewish temple and proclaim himself to be God himself. God himself. Okay? Are you with me?
Amen.
Now, there's a lot of information. I'm trying to get it over to you. Now, let's continue on. Verse 26, but the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion and consume and destroy it unto the end. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. Hitherto is the end of the matter. As for me, Daniel, my cogitations much trouble me, and my countenance changed in me, but I kept the matter in my heart. Now let's start reading chapter 8. Now we know from chapters 2, we know the Antichrist rules out of 10 kingdoms. We knew that much, right? 10 kingdoms where? Well, we know that he made mention of Babylon, Media Persia, Greece, and Rome. When we know that Rome took over all those other territories, we know those 10 kingdoms rise out of the old Roman Empire territory. We know that much, and we know the Antichrist comes from there, according to chapter 2. Chapter 7 now, we know also that these 10 kingdoms again rise out of this old Roman Empire territory, and we also know that the Antichrist is going to rise out of these 10 kings. He made it very clear. He didn't make mention of the Antichrist very much in chapter 2 there. But in chapter 7, he made a whole bunch of mention of him. And he's going to get three of them to, he's going to subdue three of them, and the rest are going to willingly submit to him. And he's going to take over the Jewish temple, and he's going to try to destroy the saints, like he said here in chapter 7, right? Mm-hmm. Now let's see what more detail. He's going to narrow it down. He keeps narrowing it down and narrowing it down, making it more and more clear. So we don't know which of the 10, as of yet, we don't know which of the 10 the Antichrist really comes out of from the information given, do we? But in this next chapter, he's going to make it very, very clear which one exactly he comes out of. Now, I've been telling you he comes out of Assyria, but you really don't have any information that tells you that. All you know at this point from the Bible standpoint, from the chapters we went through tonight, is that he comes out of these 10 kingdoms. But I'm going to prove from you that he does come from Assyria. Verse 1, in the third year of the reign of King Belshazzar, a vision appeared unto me, even unto Daniel, after that which appeared unto me at the first. And I saw in a vision, and it came to pass, and I saw that was a Shushan, excuse me here, in the palace, which is the providence of Elam, and I saw a vision, and I was by a river of Ulai. Now, let's continue on in verse 3. Then I lifted up my eyes, and I saw and beheld, there stood before me a ram. Now this is Media Persia. You can write that down in your Bible. This is Media Persia. Which had two horns. Now these two horns represent the divisions here. Darius and Cyrus is how I would pronounce it. Okay? Darius and Cyrus. Two horns. And the two horns were high, but one was higher than the other, and the higher came up last or later. Okay? That's referring to Cyrus the Persian, who is the king of the Medes and Persians after Darius the Mede. Okay? I'm going to read that again. That's referring to Cyrus the Persian, who is king of the Medes after king of the Medes and Persians after Darius the Mede. Under him and his successor Persia attained to a greater power than ever under the Medes. Okay? You can study this. If you don't want to believe what the Bible says, study it in history. This is fact. In fact, you can find your Encyclopedia of Britannica. You can find this information in there. So these are facts. Okay? Now let's continue on. And I saw the ram, Media Persia, pushing westward and northward and southward, so that no beast might stand before them, neither was there any that could deliver out of his hand, and he did according to his will and became great. Very powerful kingdom again. Media Persia. Now, as I was considering, and behold, an he-goat. A he-goat. Now he's seeing a ram, now he's seeing a he-goat. Came from the west on the face of the whole earth and touched not the ground, and the goat had a notable horn between his eyes. A notable horn between his eyes. Let's continue on. Now this he-goat is Grisha. That's what it represents. The notable horn between the eyes of this this goat. The notable horn is Alexander the Great. This is not the Antichrist. This is Alexander the Great now. So don't get too confused. Just write it down in your Bible and you'll know who it is. Now he says this, as I consider, beheld the he-goat, it came from the west of the face of the whole earth and touched not the ground, and the goat had a notable horn between his eyes. So he was moving very, very quickly. And now as I mentioned earlier, Grisha was what? Represented by a leopard which had four wings, which means it was twice as fast as Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom, which is Babylon. So he was moving, this he-goat was moving so fast he didn't touch the ground. Which again shows you and makes it very clear, this is Grisha, and the notable horn between his eyes was Alexander the Great. Now Alexander the Great, in 13 years, he only lived to be 33 years old, in 13 years he conquered most of the known world at that time. In 13 years, very powerful, very, very quickly, in 13 years' time. And he came to the ram, which had two horns. Who did? The he-goat. Grisha. Came to Media Persia, which had two horns, which again, the two horns represent Darius and Cyrus, which I had seen standing before the river, and it ran unto him in the fury of his power. Collision, right? And I saw him close unto the ram, come close unto the ram, and he was moved with choler against him, and smote the ram, and broke his two horns, and there was no power in the ram to stand before him. Now, which kingdom came after Media Persia? Wasn't it Greece? So that's further proof that this is representing Greece taking over Media Persia. And there was no power in the ram to stand before him, but he cast him down to the ground and stamped upon him, and there was none that could deliver the ram out of his hand. This is talking about Alexander the Great and the Grecian Empire taking over the Media-Persian Empire, which we've seen mentioned in all these chapters, right? Now, therefore, the he-goat waxed very strong, and when he was strong, the great horn was broken of who? The he-goat. Who's the he-goat? Does anybody know who the he-goat is? Who's the he-goat? Which kingdom is the he-goat? Greece. Okay. It says the great horn. Now, it says the great horn was broken, and for it came up four notable horns toward the four winds of heaven. So what it's talking about is after Alexander the Great's death, he died at 33, sometime after this, four other notable horns, which came up right after, really, four notable horns came up thereafter. After what? After Alexander the Great died. Four notable horns came out of what? The Grecian Empire, right? Are you with me? Okay, so let's continue on. And they went up toward the four winds of heaven. And out of one of them, everybody say, out of one of them. Say it again. Out of one of them. Say it again. Out of one of them. Out of one of them. Out of one of what? Out of one of those four horns. Out of one of those four horns, where? In the Grecian Empire, okay? You got it. Out of one of those four horns in the Grecian Empire. So he's narrowing it down within that old Roman Empire territory. He's saying now out of one of the four divisions of the old Grecian Empire is what? Where the Antichrist is going to come from. Now I kind of lost my train of thought last night when I was talking about this because I got so long-winded and read so fast, I was getting a little dizzy by the end of that. I was going so fast. Some of you might have been too. We're trying to cover a lot of ground, but tonight we're slowing it down a little bit because I want to make this very clear. Now, let's continue on here. Out of one of them came forth a little horn. Now this little horn is the Antichrist. You can write that down. Out of one of these four horns represent the four divisions of the Grecian Empire after Alexander the Great was broken off. It divided into four divisions of this Grecian Empire, okay? Now, out of one of them came the little horn, the Antichrist, which waxed exceedingly great towards the south and towards the east and toward the pleasant land. The pleasant land is Palestine. Palestine is where that Palestine's right where the Jewish temple's located in that area. Palestine, okay. And it waxed great, who? The Antichrist, even to the hosts of heaven, and it cast some down of the hosts and of the stars of the ground and stamped them under his feet. Now, the stars of heaven here, the mass of persons of things, especially organized for war, the words hosts and hosts are used 475 times in various armies of the earth and of the heavens, as well as a mass of stars. The term hosts of heaven is used of the sun, moon, and stars. The hosts may also include the worshipers. In Revelation 11, 1 through 2, they are pictured under the figure of stars of heaven. The fact that the hosts will be trodden under foot of man proves it refers to the Jewish people. The Jewish people on earth, not literal stars of heaven like we see. We also see symbolism of stars in heaven, which represented angels in chapter 12. So because of the fact that they're trodden underfoot on earth means that it's talking about the Jewish people. That's what he's talking about here. Okay? Cast down the hosts and the stars to the ground and stamped upon them. This is representing the Antichrist making these Jewish people submit to him, and he's killing them off because they're Christian now. They're being born again. Okay? Yes, he magnify himself even to the Prince of Hosts. That's talking about himself puffing himself up, I'm God. And by him the daily sacrifice was taken away, so he changed now he's setting up beast worship in the Jewish temple. And the place in his sanctuary was cast down. And the host was given him against the daily sacrifice by reason of transgression or sin, and cast down the truth to the ground, and it practiced and prospered. So his religious system of worship me was prospering in the Jewish temple right there in Palestine in that area of the world. Are you with me? I know it's a lot of information, but if you're writing this down in your Bible, next time you read it, you're going to know what it is. And when you're in Revelation and you're wondering what it is, you can just flip over here to Daniel. You have all these notes. That's why I'm telling you, write it down in your Bible. You write it down in a note card, you're going to lose it when you get home. Some people use them to pick their teeth as a toothpick. I mean, how can I help you then? Write it in your Bible. Verse 13, then I heard one saint speaking, and another saint said unto that certain saint which spake, how long shall be the vision concerning the daily sacrifice and the transgression of desolation to give both the sanctuary and the host to be trodden underfoot? So when, how long is this going to take? And he said unto me, unto 1,300, unto 1,300 days, okay? 1,300 days. He tells them exactly how long. Then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. What? 2,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. Means what it says. No need for interpretation. And it came to pass, when I, even Daniel, had seen the vision and sought for the meaning, then behold, there stood before me as an appearance of a man, and he heard a man's voice between the banks of Ulai, which called and said, Gabriel, make this man to understand the vision. So this is the angelic interpreters here. This is Gabriel coming in to help him with the interpretation. Now in verse 17, so he came near where I stood, and when he came, I was afraid, and fell upon my face, and he said unto me, understand, O son of man, for at the time of the end shall be the vision. So he asked him, when is this going to happen? He's telling the time of the end, which is when? This is the last week, Daniel's 70th week, he's telling him. Because later on, in these chapters, he talks about the 77s, We call it 70 weeks, but really it translates 77s, which is 77-year periods. The 77s would be 490 years, and 483 of those years are completed. Okay? Now, we're waiting for that last seven to come to place, but there's six things that have to happen for that 70th week to be completed. We'll talk about that. That's a whole other subject. When we get to that, I'll teach you what that means. Verse 18, "Now as he was speaking with me, I was in a deep sleep, and on my face toward the ground, he touched me and set me upright. And I said, behold, I will make you know what shall be the last end of the indignation, for at that time appointed, the end shall be." Okay? At the time appointed, the end shall be. Now, is at the end of the age, and at the end of the second advent, the time of the fulfillment of the vision is appointed. That's what that means. And the times of the end is stated in verse 25 as being when the little horn stands up against Christ. That's the time of the end. So you go back to verse 25. He makes it very clear that it's the time of the end is when the little horn stands up against Christ. Now let's continue on. Verse 20, "The ram," who's the ram? Media Persia, which thou sawest having two horns. These two horns represent Darius and Cyrus. Having two horns are the kings of Media and Persia. So he tells you who they are. Well, who are they? They're Darius and Cyrus at that time. The he-goat, the rough goat, is the king of Grecia, which is Alexander the Great, and the great horn between his eyes is the first king. Well, it's Alexander the Great is the king of Grecia. So he tells you exactly what it is. So again, I've been telling you it's Media, Persia, and Grecia. Did it turn out to be exactly like I told you? Absolutely. I wouldn't teach you anything but the truth. Now, verse 22, "That being broken, whereas four stood up for it, four kingdoms shall stand up out of the nation, but not in his power." These four horns represent Greece, Turkey, Syria, and Egypt. Right? So now we see the kingdoms divided, Greece, Turkey, Syria, and Egypt, verse 23, "And in the latter time of their kingdom, in the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors are come to the full, a king of fierce countenance, the Antichrist, and understanding dark sentences shall stand up." Where is he going to come from? Well, one of these four divisions of the Grecian Empire he's narrowed it down to now. So he's funneling it down to point a picture to you where the Antichrist is going to come from throughout all these chapters. So chapter 2, chapter 7, and now we're in chapter 8. And chapter 11, he makes mention of it again. "And of his power..." He says this, and his power shall be mighty, the Antichrist, but not by his own power. Why? Well, he's going to be empowered by this Grecian prince. What Grecian prince? The same, we know that says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, "We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Now, we're not going to go over there, but you can read it yourself. In Daniel chapter 10, the Grecian prince was the one empowering someone over there in chapter 10. Now we know there's also a satanic Grecian prince empowering Alexander the Great in this time. And what's going to happen, just similar to the way that the old Roman Empire territories revised by, instead of one king, it's not revived, it's revised, because it's not one king anymore in the Roman Empire territory, but it's 10. Well, this old Grecian empire is going to be revived, literally revived, and it's going to be ruled over by one king, which comes out of one of these four divisions, which is Egypt, Assyria, Turkey, or Greece, one of those four. It's going to be revived, that same territory, that same region, and out of one of those four divisions of that territory, the Antichrist is going to rise up and be empowered by that same Grecian prince of the earlier days. In the latter days, he'll be empowered by that same Grecian prince. And we'll see that when we get over to Revelation chapter 13. Really, he doesn't make mention of it until he talks about the Whore of Babylon, is where he talks about him being five have fallen, one is, the other is not yet come. He says the beast is an eighth king, And it says he comes out of the abyss. Well, that Grecian prince right now is locked up in an abyss, which is the bottomless pit is literally what it translates to. But he's going to get let loose for a season. Why? So this Grecian kingdom can rise again and the Antichrist can come out of it. Okay? But we're really not going into too much detail. We talked about that a little bit last night. But let's continue on here. His power shall be mighty, but not in his own power. Why? Because he's empowered not only by the Grecian prince, but also the devil. And these 10 kings give him all their power to rule, right? Now, and he shall destroy wonderfully, and shall prosper and practice, and shall destroy the mighty and holy people. That's the Jewish nation. He kills 2/3 of them, end up dying by the end of the tribulation period. Now, and you can read about this over in chapter 7, verse 25. It makes mention of these things. Now let's continue on. And through his policy, also he shall cause craft to prosper in his hand, and he shall magnify himself in his heart as God, and by peace, by what peace? Well, in the beginning of the 7-year tribulation period, he's going to make a peace agreement with Israel, deceive them, in the middle of it, he's going to let his real true intent let loose and be made known and revealed by trying to go out to kill the Jewish nation. That's what he really, his intent was to take over that whole territory. But there had to be certain things that come to pass before he could do it that way. Now, he shall magnify himself in his heart, and by peace shall destroy many. He shall also stand up against the prince of princes, and he shall be broken without hand. Now, it's a war with the Messiah we're talking about here. You can read about this in, you know, chapter 2, again, verse 44 through 45, chapter 7, 26 to 27, 2 Thessalonians 2, 8, Revelation 17, verse 4, Revelation 19, 11 through 21, and Zechariah 14, for those of you taking notes. Now, and the vision of the evening and the morning, which is told is true, wherefore shut thou up the vision, for it shall be for many days. And I, Daniel, fainted, was sick certain days. Afterward, I rose up and did the king's business, was astonished at the vision, but none could understand it. Go on over to chapter 11 real quick. So we know that he was going to come out of one of these four now. We've got it narrowed down to four, right?
Yeah.
But now we're going to narrow it down to two, and then we're going to narrow it down to one here in chapter 11. We don't have time to go through the whole chapter. It's a very, very, very long chapter. You can read it when you get home. But he says here, verse 40, well, let's go back to 36. And the king shall do according to his will. This is talking about the Antichrist, which is the king of the north, he calls him in this chapter. The king of the north is Syria. The king of the south mentioned in this chapter is Egypt. He's gonna be one of these two, Egypt or Syria. We know he comes out of either Greece, Turkey, Egypt, or Syria, right? Well, he's going to narrow it down to two here. The king shall do according to his will, and he shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god. This is similar to what the other chapters told you, and this is what Revelation chapter 13 tells you. And shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods, and shall prosper until the indignation be accomplished. For that, this is how the King James Version says it, for that is determined shall be done. That'll make your head spin the way they say that. Now, verse 37, neither shall he regard the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women, nor regard any God, for he shall magnify himself above all. This is the same thing we've been, you know, it tells you all about in Revelation 13. We know this to be the Antichrist. But in his estate shall he honor the God of forces, a God whom his fathers knew not, shall he honor with gold and silver, and with precious stones and pleasant things. Now, let's continue on. Thus shall he do in the most strongholds with the strange God, whom he shall acknowledge and increase with glory, and he shall cause them to rule over many, and shall divide the land for gain. Verse 40, and at that time of the end, again he says it's the time of the end, shall the king of the south That's Egypt. Push him, and the king of the north, Syria, shall come against him like a whirlwind, with chariots and with horsemen, with many ships, and he shall enter into the countries and shall overflow and pass over. He shall enter also into the glorious land, Palestine, and many countries shall be overthrown. I'm going to read that again. At the time of the end, right? The time of the end, the king of the south, Egypt, pushed at him, and the king of the north, which is Assyria, shall come against him like a whirlwind, and chariots and with horsemen, and with many ships, and he shall enter into the countries and shall overflow and pass over. What this is talking about is when the Antichrist finally gets all these kingdoms to submit to him. Now, Egypt, we know that those four, the Grecian Empire, okay, Egypt, Assyria, Greece, and Turkey, were the last four that he got three of them to subdue. Which one was the one that helped him? Syria, because he is the Assyrian. Which of the other three? Then we got Greece, Turkey, and Egypt. So he's fighting against Egypt. It shows you right here. So one of the last ones he gets to subdue before the other six willingly submit is Egypt. Is it starting to come together a little bit? Okay. Now, repetition is absolute key when it. You know, I was very terrible in history in school. I still to this day probably can't name the states, but when it comes to the Bible, I can understand these things because they're spiritual by the anointing. Now, he says this, he'll come against him, Egypt, like a whirlwind, with chariots and horsemen and with many ships, and he shall enter into the countries and shall overflow and pass over. Verse 41, he shall enter also into the glorious land, which is Palestine now, because he's going to take over that area during the last 3.5 years of the tribulation period. In many countries, not all, everyone say not all, but many. Many, not all of them. He doesn't take over the whole world. Not all of them, but many countries shall be overthrown, but these shall escape out of his hand. Edom, Moab, and the chief of the children of Ammon. That's where the woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and crown of 12 stars on her head, which represents Israel, flees to. So what happens is the man-child over there, the man-child is born in chapter 12 of Revelation, which represented the 144,000 who had the seal, which we know, according to chapter 14, that seal was the name of God and the name of the Lamb written on their foreheads. Okay? The man-child is 144,000, which is 12,000 from each of the 12 tribes of Israel that get born again in the 3.5 years into the tribulation period. They get born again. Why? Because the Antichrist breaks covenant and they cry out to God in repentance because they recognize what's happening. And what God does is another rapture happens and they snatched up before God and before his throne to be taken. They're up there for the last 3.5 years of the tribulation period. The Antichrist, which is connected to the devil, who's been trying to take over the world, who's connected to this red dragon, the devil, gets upset and because he couldn't stop them from getting born again and God stole them away up into heaven. And he gets upset and he goes after Israel now, which is the woman in chapter 12. But what happens is the Antichrist comes up against them with all of his armies, which is the river that the dragon spews out of his mouth. But the earth, like Numbers chapter 16, I believe it is, opens up its mouth and swallows. You think God did it before? All you got to do is go look over there in Florida. There's more and more sinkholes every day. That's a sign of the times. You don't think they swallow up houses? Go do a video on end times sinkholes. They're all over the world. I've seen old buildings disappear. They can't even find the building. It goes so far down. Whole buildings. Without a trace. I mean, you know, normally a building just collapses and crumbles and there'd be a bunch of stuff around it. There's nothing. The whole building just dropped down. Like it just dropped down in perfect form. Down into the earth somewhere. And they can't even find the building. It's so far deep. God's going to do it again. He's going to swallow up the armies of the Antichrist. And as a result, Israel's going to be able to flee to where? Well, he says right here. Edom, Moab, and the chief of the children of Ammon. Because that's the place that shall escape out of his hand. Which represents old Jordan, that area of the world. Which is right in front of his face. So if he can't even stop Israel, how is he going to... 20 centuries now, to say that the Antichrist is going to take over the whole world is to say that he's going to do more than God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the whole church together has done in 20 centuries now. And he's going to do it in 3.5 years. Forget it. One man. Think about that. There's no chance of it. There's still people to this day that have never heard of Jesus Christ. We're trying to reach them. There's still people to this day, I wouldn't even doubt it, that there's still people to this day that don't even know that we have airplanes. Even in this day. They don't know, you don't know what a computer is. Somewhere out there in the hills. Amen? Food for thought.